The scripture this morning will be Genesis. That the chapter and the verses are 20 through 33. You'll find it on page 14 of the Old Testament in your Pew Bible. Excuse me. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous and the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it for you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. And that's the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is the gospel. If it is your tradition to stand as we read the gospel, I invite you to do so at this time. This is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and following. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, and for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And then do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You've heard that one, haven't you? There was a court trial. I didn't find the details of it in searching, but a criminal had been brought before the court and had done something naughty. And the judge sent them to the quarters, and they were arguing about whether or not the penalty, what penalty to exact upon this person out of their jury trial. And one of the jurors asked for a Bible to brought in and brought out the Old Testament and said, well, it says right here, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And did not bother to share the Matthew passage, but I tell you, turn the other cheek. So it's possible that we can get locked into what was then and some sets of directions that Jesus has come and has refined and helped us learn and grow about and grow beyond. We've been talking about different terms that have that are out of our faith tradition that make it into the general population. Good Samaritan is the one we were using. Good Samaritan, the example of a good Samaritan. Friday, did anybody experience it being kind of hot Friday? You know, when it was the very hottest of the hot Friday, the very middle of the very hottest second of the very, well, I think it was close anyway. I was at Lowe's and I had some building materials. I got them on one of those little carts of theirs and I rolled them out to my car and we're loading them in the back of the car. And the parking lot was, there was a little bit of a slope there. So as I was opening the trunk, the cart starts rolling away. I reached over and I grabbed the cart and the cart stopped and the building materials kept going. Unloaded themselves all over the parking lot. I didn't say anything naughty. You'll be proud of your pastor. I'm giving that up, and I try not to say naughty, naughty. But I did say something about, aw, shucks, or doggone it, or just figures, or something. And I had been aware there was a van on the other side over there, and the van door was open, and it was the strangest thing. I remember noting that this man, I could hear the saw, a saw cutting a board, wood, inside the van. And it just seemed incongruous why someone would be in their van, in the parking lot at Lowe's, sawing lumber. But I didn't think anything of it. Anyway, after I had my little debacle and everything scattered all over the parking lot, this fella sticks his head out, lays his saw down, and he comes over and says, let me give you a hand. A good Samaritan. They're all around us. They're everywhere. And I want you, here's your homework for the next 20, 40 years. Observe the good Samaritans. Notice how many good people there are all around you. And not only that, but be the good Samaritans. Because that's part of our job. Good Samaritans, it's one of those things out of our religious faith that has come into our common lectionary and been used. There's a couple of them that are kind of wrong, though. Sodom and Gomorrah are traditionally associated with homosexuality. And we need to take a look at that. In Genesis 19, we read 18, but in 19, some angels go to Sodom, and Lot is there. Lot lives in Sodom. And he sees them coming, and he offers them hospitality. Come into my house, stay with me, let me host you. Have you heard that word, hospitality? We've been working on it for weeks now. Have you heard that word, hospitality? Okay, all right. It's a big word. The men of the city come and they say, send out these strangers, these visitors, these aliens, that we might know them. Do whatever they want, including rape. And they demand to have them brought out. And Lot takes that issue of hospitality, as it should be, very, very seriously. They are under his roof. They are his to care for. And such means that we take hosting them very, very seriously. He is so serious that he offers up his virgin daughters instead. That is hospitality. Consider that word, hospitality, and hang on to it. So as we reflect on Sodom and Gomorrah, we think about what an abhorrent scene that was, and we begin to make a determination about what Sodom and Gomorrah are about. But if we are good students of the Bible, we'll read Ezekiel 16. Here is what the prophet Ezekiel said. He said, this was the guilt of the city Sodom. She
and her sister cities had pride, excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and the needy. They were haughty and did other abominable things before me. Therefore I removed them when I saw them." So in our common lexicon, a lot of people will associate Sodom in a certain way without knowing the rest of the story. Now, without knowing Ezekiel's understanding and how important this is in illustration around hospitality. Be aware of that. You now have that information. Hang on to it. I have another little piece. Have you been watching the news on TV? There are days I don't want to turn it on. I was working at home and I thought, I'm not even going to turn on the news because it might be more bad news. And indeed, there was someone in Munich, a young man who was obviously mentally ill. But I saw another little bit. Did you see the other little bit about there was a fella driving his convertible down the highway and who knows whether he's speeding or... No, he said he was doing something in his car. I forgot what he was saying, but he rolled his car. What was he doing? Do you remember seeing that article? His what? Oh, that's right, that's right. There was a book and it flew and it distracted him. And in that split second, he lost and he rolled the car and it had landed upside down and he was pinned under the car. People stopped. And there's a cell phone video. This day and age, you don't do anything because you're going to get filmed on somebody's cell phone. But all these people, there must have been 20 or 30 people there. There was black people and there was white people and there was green people and there was some orange. Well, I don't know about orange and green. I'm colorblind. But anyway, all these people, and they rolled the car back over. Did you see that? And they rolled it over and he just was laying sideways and he just sat up like, wow. There was gas dripping everywhere. They were afraid that he was going to catch on fire. They saved his life. Good Samaritans. Good Samaritans. Part of your homework to keep up on that. Backside of that, there was a news article about the legislator that got stopped for DUI. Did you see that? Twice the legal limit. Took the breathalyzer test. And he was trying to get the officer to be nice to him. You know, I'm a legislator. Is there anything you can, you know, I can, what? So in the jail cell, I'm sure he was saying, Lord, get me out of this, and I promise I won't ever go to that happy hour ever again. None of us have ever bartered like that, have we? I don't want to show hands. I don't want to see anything here. But if we're bartering, I want Abraham on my side. Did you hear that passage? Did you hear the Genesis passage about Abraham? Here is Abraham preparing to destroy the city, and Abraham says, Lord... And who approaches Lord and argues with God? He says, if they're only... Let me read it. Let me find it. Lost it. Nope, here it is. Okay. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 who are in it? Far be it for you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? The Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake. And it just gets fun. How about for 45? Can you give me 40? What about 40? If there's 40, how about 30? And then he talks God into 20. And finally he says, 10. Suppose 10 are found. God said, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way. And when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. I always wanted to explore that passage a little further. Do you think that Abraham bartered God down? I love reading all the commentaries on passages. You know, when we look at a passage, this is straight out of the lectionary. I find as many different commentators as I can. I get commentators and commentaries and scholars and background. And it's called exegizing the text. And we try and just find out every little nuance we can. And several of them said that they felt that Abraham really was able to barter with God, to barter from 50 to 10 people. I contend that that's not true. I contend that God knew all along just how many righteous people were there. It's like you're in a poker game and you're playing poker and somebody's betting like crazy, like they got the best hand in the world, and you're sitting here with a royal straight flush in your hand. You know you got every hand in the book beat, and they're over there carrying on, and you already know the score. I believe that God knew. And that he also, though, needed something from Abraham. Ask and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. Here is Abraham. Here is Sodom. How many estimates on the number in Sodom range anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000? Think about that a minute. 10,000 people. And the argument is, if 50 of them are righteous, will you spare the city? All right, you're the judges now. 10,000 people, 50 good people. How many bad people does that leave? Which one of us are the quick mathematicians here? Schneer, you get it that fast? Rick, what did you say? I can't hear anybody. What did you say, Rick? No, he's shaking his head. Say again, Bill. 9,950 people are naughty. I'm going to use the term naughty just as a cover. 50 good, 9,950 people are bad. What would you do as the judge? What if only 10 of them were good? God is a gracious God. God is a just God. And God would allow the city to continue for the sake of 10. We know the rest of the story, that there were not 10. And we know that God knows and judges and is able, but the important part here is this little bit with Abraham. And Abraham is aware that even if the smallest portion is worthy, they count. Abraham had to grow into that. A lot of people would say it balanced that. Well, the 9,950, the 50, sorry, but collateral damage. Have you heard that phrase? Not with God. Not with us as a people of faith. But Abraham had to think and had to ask. And that's what God is asking of us. We need to ask. We need to... God knows what we need to ask before we ask it. God knows what we need to pray before we begin to pray. And it's not about our praying to change God. It's about our praying and finding ourselves and finding ourselves in relationship to God. We have to get there and understand and know who is worthy, who isn't worthy, and know God's grace. It is us who must come to some realization. We have to pray. We have been praying for a return of civility in our society. It seems like things are unsettled. Be careful. Some of that's inflationary. Nothing sells news like bad news, so be wary. Check out actual statistics. We have less crime today. 2007, we had a peak in crime, and it has decreased since then. Not sure what all of that's about, but be aware. And be aware that we still need to pray because there are still issues of civility that need to be addressed. And as we begin to pray that, it changes something in us. We begin to realize that civility begins with us. That civility is a small spark that we offer as good Samaritans, as those people of generosity in God that might touch one other and then another. And then another. So here's the time. This is the place to ask, to knock, to seek. And God will respond. Because God is waiting for us to take those steps. Once we do that, and once we really begin to move with God and trust God, we can change the world. And we can love our neighbor as God loves us. Amen.